It was straight out of a bad spy novel. Everyone is going to die, we thought. It was well after midnight, and the rain outside was pounding on the plane, which shook and shuddered in the heavy winds. Every so often, the windows would light up with lightning flashes. People might have gotten more airsick, but the vodka bottles flowing among many of the passengers seemed to counteract the ill effects. Vodka really is a wonder drug, it seems. We were flying above the former Soviet Union. The plane, an old Antonov 24, was designed in 1957, before the first Boeing commercial jet ever flew. That was over 5 decades ago, and it felt like it. The orange carpeted walls and disco lighting might have been the work of Austin Powers, if he was in the business of designing the interiors of old turboprop planes. As the wind whipped the plane and the lightning flashed in our windows, it seemed that it could well be the end of us. They would find our bodies twisted among the wreckage of the orange-carpeted fuselage. What were we doing on this plane in the first place? It was part of our work, what we call extreme venture capital. We are venture capitalists based in Silicon Valley, and we are also experts in designing venture funds and growing innovation economies in new markets everywhere else. It was a curious time and place to have a conversation about quantum mechanics, but we were. Our seatmate was Alastair Brett, a theoretical physicist who is now, like us, an advisor for the World Bank. He told us, "When I first got involved in this work, I was surprised to discover the math that economists were using." Alastair said this in his gentle manner, which seemed at odds with the radical nature of the subject. He continued, "Many of the equations used in thermodynamics are basically the same as the equations used in macroeconomics. At first, I was baffled, but then I realized that the underlying math is the same. One field just applies the math to liquids and gases, and the other applies it to human systems." Suddenly, high in the middle of nowhere and contemplating our demise, it all made sense. We humans tend to think of ourselves as so very important, but we are all just glorified bacteria in a petri dish, mere participants in a complex biological system we call human society. When viewed from high above, individuals become anonymous. However, our collective behavior creates discernible patterns. We behave as if we were atoms in an ocean. At a national or global level, we see only the ocean, not the atoms that make up the molecules of water. As Alastair observes, that is why chemists and physicists can have such a hard time talking with each other. Think of crowds at a football game. 3 football fans cheering look like individual atoms. 100,000 football fans cheering in a stadium look like an ocean. Of course. Macroeconomics is about watching the rise and fall of oceans made of people. The mathematics of the movement of liquids should indeed be related to the mathematics of macro-human systems. However, if we take that to be true, then Alastair's insight begs a huge question. What is the model to describe the systemic process of human innovation? If we can apply thermodynamics to macroeconomic behavior, why should there not be a way to describe how the simple atom-to-atom or people-to-people interactions of human beings can have such powerful effects in communities such as Silicon Valley? In short, rather than measuring the behavior of atoms or the movement of oceans, is there a way to watch the waves, the patterns that form as human beings come together to innovate? And if not using traditional economics, then what? In this book, we attempt to provide an answer to this mystery of innovation. Like in any spy novel, the answer is elusive and will take many plots and subplots to reveal over time. Fortunately, we have some good clues to start the investigation. And like any new field of inquiry, the answer will require us to break some old conventions. Therefore, with apologies to James Bond, we believe that traditional ways of describing economic behavior will possibly need to be shaken, not merely stirred. You will have to wait until the end of the book to learn if we survived the flight from venture hell. In the meantime, we will take you on a different journey. Over the course of this book, we will travel from Silicon Valley to sub-Saharan Africa, from the Middle East to the American frontier.